Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue a teaching series called Uncommon Courage. In these lessons, Rick is going to share biblical inspiration that will help you get the courage you need to follow God's calling for your life. If you'd love to help the kids you know learn God's Word, then stay with us. Because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about God's Big Plans for Me, an easy-to-understand storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Courage to Keep Going.
What is the law of Christ? It's this: love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. It's mentioned about seven times in the Bible. We're commanded to help each other. And so every time you help somebody who's going through their pain, and they're saying, I'm doubting, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm full of fear, I'm crushed. And you say, it's okay, I will believe God for you, I will help you, I will lift you up. Then you're fulfilling the law of Christ. You see, pain is the great equalizer. When you're in pain, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you're in pain. Doesn't matter if you're young or old, you're in pain. Doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated, doesn't matter. Pain is the great equalizer. And we are to help each other through our pain. Tell God exactly how you feel and accept help from others. Here's the third thing you need to do. Stop asking why. When you've gone through that loss, when you've gone through that crisis, when your prayer hasn't been answered, you stop asking why. Because it doesn't help, and it only prolongs the pain. Now, this is something we all have to learn. Even Job had to learn this. Job didn't get it right for a long time. In fact, Job was full of questions. He asked questions for 37 chapters. So he didn't get it right off the bat. But he did eventually get it. And eventually he stopped asking why. And what happened is God started asking him some questions. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. But he's asking all kinds of questions. Let me give you some of the questions Job asked. Job chapter 3. Why didn't I die at birth as I came from the womb? Why did my mother let me live? Why did she nurse me at her breast? In other words, here's a guy in so much pain and in so much despair. He's going, you know what? It really would have been better if I hadn't been born. Now, you got to be in enormous pain to feel that way. But this is the way Job felt. He said, I rue the day that I was born. I wish I hadn't been born. God, why did you let me be born if I was going to be a part of all of this despair? It's a legitimate question. In fact, Job asks a lot of legitimate questions. Look at the next verse, Job 3:20. Why let people go on living in misery? Good question. Why give light to those in grief? You see, this why question, why God, why? Why God, why? Why God, why? It's human nature, and we all ask it. And the reason why we all ask it is a misconception, because we think that if we understand the reason behind our pain, then it'll make the pain easier. Wrong. An explanation doesn't comfort you. You don't need an explanation. You need strength. You don't need an explanation. You need a Savior. You don't need an explanation. You need God. You don't need an explanation. You need comfort and support. But we always go looking for the explanation. Why? And we ask things like, why did that person walk out in my life? Why did they betray me? Why did they make a promise to me and then break it? Why did they walk out? Why did they hurt me? Why did I lose my job? Why did I get laid off? Why did my loved one die? Why did they get ill? Why did I get sick? Now, friends, I have been studying the why question for 37 years. And I'm going to give you my educated, profound answer. I don't know. And I'm never going to know. Because I'm not God. And you're not God either. And some things we're just never going to understand until we get to the other side of death in eternity, in heaven. And then it's all going to become very, very clear. Only God knows. And if you don't get it right off the bat, you might as well stop asking why, because you're simply prolonging the pain. Let me show you a couple of very important verses. These aren't on your outline, so you might write them down. Here on the screen, Proverbs 25 verse 2 says this. It is God's privilege to conceal things. It is God's privilege to conceal things. God reveals, but God also conceals. You see, you wouldn't know anything about God except that God reveals himself. God is a God of revelation. He reveals himself through nature. He reveals himself through circumstances. He reveals himself through scripture. And the only reason you know anything about God is because God has chosen to reveal himself. Otherwise, you wouldn't know anything about him. But the Bible says God doesn't just reveal, God also conceals. And sometimes God intentionally hides his face from us. Why? So we'll learn to trust him instead of trusting our feelings. So we'll live by faith rather than feelings. Why didn't God just make himself known to everybody and make everything perfectly clear and you see everything from the beginning of your life to the end in perfect clarity? Because it'd scare you to death. So God intentionally conceals some things. And what God has concealed, you're never going to find out on this side of eternity. So you might as well relax and stop asking why. You see, God doesn't owe you an explanation for anything. God doesn't have to check in with you first before he does something. God doesn't have to get your permission before he allows things to happen in life. Is this okay with you? No, God is God. And we're not always going to understand what happens. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 and 12 says this, right now we only know a little. In other words, we see in part. We just see partially. Right now we see things imperfectly, as in a poor mirror. But then, in other words, in heaven, we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then, in heaven, I will know everything completely. Someday, it's all going to be clear. One day, it's all going to make sense. One day, you're going to see in heaven and go, oh, that's what was happening. That's why God allowed that in my life. That's why God allowed me to sin. That's why God allowed that other person to sin against me. Because he could have stopped me from sinning and he could have stopped them from sinning, but he didn't. And the world is broken as a result. And nothing works right. But some things we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. In the first place, our brain capacity isn't big enough to understand God. Some of the best advice I got many years ago, my dad said this to me. He may have read it somewhere, but and it's really stuck with me. He said, son, there's going to be things in life you don't understand. And they're not going to make sense. And you're going to have all kinds of questions. What you need to do is create a ask God later file in your brain. And you need to plug those questions there. Because there are going to be things that just don't make sense. And you want to go, why, God, why? But they aren't going to be answered now. So you just need to create a doesn't make sense file. A I don't understand it file. A God, I'm going to ask you about this later file. And every time you get one of those unanswerable questions, you just park it there and you leave it and you let it go and you get on with your life and you do the best you can with what you have for Jesus Christ today. Profound advice. Just park it in the I don't understand file.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read His Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. This 223-page hardcover children's book includes 40 well-loved Bible stories to help kids engage with God's Word. Each Bible story has an introduction from Pastor Rick that helps young readers understand the Word of God and has a closing thought with a practical step boys and girls can take to discover God's big plans for them. Their eyes will light up as they turn the beautifully illustrated pages and really start to get what God wants to say to their young hearts and minds. God's Big Plans for Me is so much more than just a book filled with cute pictures of Bible characters. It's a fun and effective way to introduce children to God's everlasting truth. This book makes a great gift. You'll want to get a copy for every child in your life. And today, when you give a gift to help Pastor Rick's Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus Christ around the world, we'll send you a copy of God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible to say thanks. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks in advance for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Today is the last day to get God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
You see, sometimes you pray about something and you want it so badly, your heart is about to break. You're going, God, I've invested my entire life savings in this business, and I want it to work, but it doesn't work. And sometimes you say, God, I so badly want to get married, but it hadn't happened. And God, I have a baby, but it hasn't happened. And God, and sometimes you want so badly, and you pray about it, 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 but you don't get what you want. And in that moment, you are tempted to doubt God, to doubt His promises, and to doubt the efficacy of prayer. That's normal. Even Job doubted the efficacy of prayer. You say, he did? Yeah, he did. Look at the next verse. Job 21:15. Who is the Almighty, and why should we obey Him? This is a guy in deep pain. What good is it if we pray? He's saying, why, God, why? Now, sometimes you pray, and when you don't get what you want, it feels like God has let you down, and you're disappointed, and you make an illogical jump, and you say, well, God just doesn't love me. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You will never understand how much God loves you. He will never love you any more or less than He does right now. And as I've said many times, you can't make God stop loving you. You can rail at Him, but He's not going to stop loving you because God is love. And we always get into trouble when we doubt God's love. What I need to do, instead of asking why, is I need to take step four. Trust God in things I don't understand. That's step four. I stop asking why, because I'm not going to find the answer now, and I trust God in things I don't understand. Now, the fact is, God always answers prayer. Always, 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 always answer prayer. He doesn't always answer yes. He doesn't always answer the way I wish. In fact, there are hundreds of ways God can answer your prayers besides yes. Sometimes God answers a prayer with yes. Sometimes God answers a prayer with no. Sometimes God answers a prayer with not yet. Sometimes God answers a prayer with wait. Sometimes God answers a prayer with, "You got to be kidding me." Sometimes God answers a prayer with, "You be the answer." I mean, go out and you be the answer. I mean, you say, "God, I need a lot of money." And God says, "Go get a job." "God, I want to get married." "Well, get out there and meet some people. God's not going to drop a man just out of heaven. He might smash you." Sometimes God says, "You be the answer." Sometimes God says, "Trust me. You're not going to know on this one. Just trust me." So there are lots of different ways that God answers prayer. Now, for 37 chapters in the book of Job, Job is asking the why question. Why, God? Why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing this? Why so much pain? Why so much discomfort? Why haven't you answered my prayers? Why do you, why? And in chapter 8, Job stops asking why, and God says, "Okay, hang on, Job. I'd like to ask you a few questions." And for the next two chapters, chapter 38 and chapter 39, God barrages Job with questions that only God can answer. He says, like, "Where were you when I made the universe? Can you explain the law of gravity?" You know, that kind of stuff. "Do you understand why the sun is hot?" And for two chapters, God asks questions that obviously only God could answer. And Job realizes after two chapters of listening to God's question to him, who am I to be questioning God? I mean, really, I'm just a man. My knowledge is limited. I can't see it all. My brain capacity is too small. If you could understand why God does everything he does in your life, you'd be God, but you're not. And for me to try to understand the ways of God in the world is like an ant trying to understand the internet. No matter how hard that ant tries, he's not going to understand the internet. There is no way that a finite human is going to understand an infinite God. You don't have the capacity. So there's some things I just have to trust God for. I don't understand them. They don't make sense. I'm filing it in the Ask God Later file, but I'm going to trust God in the things I don't understand. So Job goes, "My knowledge is limited. I can't see it all. My brain capacity is too small. I'm just a man." So he stops questioning and he starts trusting. Job 42, 1 to 3 and verse 6. "Then Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do anything, God. And I know that no one can stop you. You're sovereign and you're omnipotent. You, God, ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance?'" Job's doing a little internal conversation here. He says, "God, I can imagine you saying, who is this guy that questions my wisdom with such ignorance?" And Job admits, "It is I. I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. God, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance." Job says, I was talking about things I didn't understand. This situation's way over my head. It's above my pay grade. I don't have the capacity to understand the ways and the wisdom of God. I'm sorry. I repent. I was wrong. I should just trust you in this." Now, what do you do when you're in a situation that you don't see what God sees? You can't see the whole picture. Things aren't clear, and it makes no sense at all to you what's happening. What do you do in that situation? You remind yourself of the things about God that you do know, that you know for certain, that you can rely on, and you publicly affirm what you do know in the midst of all the things that you don't know and you don't understand. And this is exactly what Job does throughout the entire book. I just wrote a few of them down there on your outline. Job reminds himself, he says, "I know that God is good, and I know that God is loving." Job chapter 10. He says, "I know that God is all powerful." He says, I notice that God notices every detail of my life. I know that for sure. I know that God is in control. I know that God has a plan for my life, and I know that God will protect me. He affirms in the middle of his doubts the stuff he does know to be true. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, and you may not feel it, but I will tell you this. God is passionately and intimately aware of every detail in your life that you're going through right now. And he's paying attention to every breath and every burp in your life. Nothing misses God's attention because God is complete love and he made you to love you and he notices everything in your life. So even though Job doesn't understand what's going on, he makes these affirmations of faith, and you need to do this. I know you're good. I know you're loving. I know you're powerful. I know you notice the details of my life. I know you're in control. I know you have a plan. I know you will protect me. And after making all these affirmations, Job comes to the decision, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust God no matter what.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. Do you have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or kids in your neighborhood that need to know God loves them and has a good plan for their lives? You can help them get closer to God by encouraging them to read God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about a very special resource just for kids called God's Big Plans for Me. It's a storybook Bible by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
In Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." How do we bring children to Jesus? Well, the best way is to read the Bible with them. You know, when my kids were growing up, I could always see their excitement about Jesus grow every time we read stories from the Bible together. Now, I see that same excitement when I read the Bible with my grandchildren. I love teaching them at such an early age that God created them for a purpose, that they are not an accident, that they matter to God, and that He has a special plan for their lives. So I'm excited to tell you that I've teamed up with a very gifted children's illustrator to prepare a new Bible for children. It's called God's Big Plans for Me, Storybook Bible. Your kids will learn from God's Word in ways that are easy to understand. And long after they learn to read on their own, this storybook Bible is going to keep on encouraging them to trust in God's promises. The God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible contains 40 well-loved Bible stories that will help your kids learn how to apply God's Word to their lives. Each story is beautifully illustrated. It's incredible. And includes an introduction from me that encourages them to discover God's great purpose for them. It's fun, it's effective, it's entertaining, it's challenging, it's captivating. It's a great way to introduce children to God's eternal truths. Now, I'll send you this Bible for Children, God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, just as a way of saying thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope today. We depend on your gifts. I want you to have this as my thank you gift to you. I hope you'll get a copy for all the children in your life, your kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even children you know in your neighborhood. They'll all love this. We've had nothing but 100% great feedback from people who've seen the God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible.
To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Today is the last day to get God's Big Plans for Me storybook Bible, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.